Okay, item 1002.
Item 1002, adopt regulations for marijuana license procedures and requirements.
Mr. Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is our third hearing on this issue, maybe fourth. I'm losing count, but certainly there's been plenty of public process. And it is a new program, and so it's highly unlikely that we're going to get absolutely everything right the first time that we vote on it, and we will continue to work on the program. Just to review, beginning tomorrow, medical dispensaries are allowed to sell a certain amount of recreational marijuana through the end of 2015. And then possibly as early as December 1st, recreational marijuana businesses could apply for a city license along with an Oregon Liquor Control Commission license that would be granted no sooner than January 4th of 2015. So the urgent issue that we need to, that I would like us to vote on today is to adopt this emergency ordinance with amendments so that we have some regulation of time, place, and manner starting tomorrow for how medical dispensaries can sell recreational marijuana. And to again recap, the direction from council based on public input at the last two hearings is that we should do whatever we can within the scope of our authority to both prevent land grabs and to prevent giving an inadvertent upper hand to out-of-state companies, and also to support medical marijuana patients and dispensaries. This council has been very supportive of medical marijuana every time that we've been asking about it. And so the goal of the amendments today, which staff will walk us through, is to make sure that we protect the medical dispensaries to the extent that council has directed. So with that, I'll ask Teresa Marchetti, the program manager, to please walk us through it.
Thank you so much. I firmly believe that third time's a charm. So I'm Teresa Marchetti for the record, and I'm the Livability Programs Manager. And
I'm Victor Salinas, the Marijuana Policy Coordinator for the City of Portland, for the record. And we'll go ahead and walk you through the beginning of the proposed amendments to Chapter 14B.130. So the first amendment is to Section 14B.130.080 with the requirements, operational requirements. The second amendment is to Section 14B.130.040.D, and that's to the distance restrictions for dispensaries and retailers. I'll speak to the latter one that I mentioned, since that is a less complicated one. We've heard from industry and from medical patients alike that the proposed changes to Section 14B.130.080A2 are in response to concerns of medical marijuana patient cardholders employed at medical dispensaries within the City of Portland about their ability to medicate at work as necessary for their medical conditions pursuant to OAR 333-008-1200. So the amendment would actually change the proposed ordinance or code to allow them to medicate on-site in closed quarters, in private quarters, away from public view and away from anyone else within the medical dispensary.
And to clarify, we're going to defer to our ongoing process to decide whether that same provision should apply to retail establishments once there are purely retail establishments authorized.
Thank you. The amendment to Section 14B.130.040D, the distance restrictions for dispensaries and retailers. So the amendment that we've crafted is intended to meet Council's direction of protecting the existing medical dispensaries that have been supporting the medical marijuana patients. We were asked to develop some criteria for that, and we have done so. And the criteria is related to those dispensaries that have been established in Portland with substantial financial and time investment, and also that are operating in compliance with state regulations and serving medical patients. And I have to say that we had some trepidation about crafting this policy in a way to make sure that we were not unfairly granting some amount of preference to one group over another. We've heard a lot of criticism that the current marijuana industry is predominantly white, male, and affluent. And we have really strived in our policymaking to ensure that we're not systematically and unintentionally excluding groups that don't enjoy the same privileges as others. It is commonly felt that the current medical marijuana industry and marijuana industry has been able to take advantage of opportunities that other groups cannot because of their status and privilege. And I am very aware of how much of a challenge it is to speak about privilege in the realm of policy. I enjoy my own privilege most of the time without even knowing it. And ONI's core value system and also explicit direction from this council has basically mandated that we actually do think about it within this policymaking. And it's been at the forefront of our minds through this entire thing. So we think
Did you say you heard public testimony to that effect?
We did. We did at the town halls, at the community stakeholder work group meetings. We do believe that this criteria helps to ensure that we don't erect barriers, additional barriers to specific groups within Portland. We also think that it maintains, which is also within the framework of viewing this through an equity lens, it maintains and preserves the protection from saturation that City Council has been very adamant about in ensuring for the communities of Portland by establishing the 1,000-foot buffer.
Teresa, I don't know enough, I guess, about the industry, but who is privileged and who is not privileged in the industry?
Well, we're really talking about the fact that, you know, that individuals who are well-resourced, have existing supply lines, have existing, really it's about the resources that they bring to the table, that they can take advantage of a very high-risk situation entering into the medical marijuana industry and now into the medical industry to a greater extent than other groups can.
And if we're talking about people of color and women in particular,
yes,
not having had access to opening those facilities.
I guess I want to play devil's advocate. If we want to be as laissez-faire and pro-equity as possible, why don't we just not adopt any of these standards about siting and just allow the market to operate and allow people to enter the market? I mean, I'm really baffled. I do think, you know, we're talking about a regulatory program where you want to hire 8 people. I questioned that last time. So why don't we just let it lie and not adopt any local regulations?
Because I think the equity lens needs to be applied both in the front end and the back end. So we're talking about the communities that these types of businesses are going to locate in and providing protections for them and also establishing those expectations between those communities and this industry and the newness of this industry is extremely important when we're looking at it from an equity lens. I mean, we have seen time and time again across the nation that alcohol and vice-related type businesses congregate in areas of social disadvantage, and they perpetuate that. And I think that especially as we are embarking on this new realm, that we need to be mindful of that and the policies that we're proposing to you for your adoption to make sure that we're not making the same mistakes that we've made.
And specifically, this addresses position in terms of the population that lives east of Highway 205, where we see a great saturation of adult businesses from a lottery to bars to liquor stores to other adult industry businesses as well. And that's where we see the greatest impact, where there is the least amount of resources and the knowledge and the ability for people to present themselves here today to be able to advocate for the regulatory system that addresses livability in those neighborhoods.
I think the fundamental flaw with the lens you're looking at this, in my personal opinion, is, you know, marijuana is not like alcohol. You know, people are not going to be allowed to smoke on premises in either of these establishments, or unless you're behind closed doors and all locked up. It's not a, you know, it's not a speakeasy. It's not a bar. There's not going to be spillover into the neighborhoods. And people aren't going to locate, if people are entrepreneurial, regardless of their race or gender, they're not going to locate in an area where they're not going to make some money. And so why not, as I said, why, you know, they're not going to saturate an area if they're going to put each other out of business. And like I said, we're looking at marijuana like it's alcohol or pornography, and it's just not the same. And I think the voters took a very clear position on that, and I think we're just kind of, you know, we're regulating for the sake of regulating as opposed to the sake of there being a real problem.
I understand where you're coming from.
I'd rather, you know, be laissez-faire. And we can always come back and adopt regulations. The world is not going to end tomorrow if we don't have regulations in place.
It's always difficult to come back and regulate. It's always difficult to run after a problem once it's already established. We've seen again and again that there are proactive regulations, reasonable regulations, that can be put in place that avoid all of those negative consequences. And even though we don't know to what extent that marijuana may align with alcohol, it's the best system that we have for comparison at this point, just because it hasn't been ethical to study it, to study marijuana and what the impacts are on an aggregate level, just because it was illegal for so long.
Can I just ask a simple question, because today is full of surprises for me. If Commissioner Saltzman has a principled objection to us adopting any regulations, Mayor, I would propose that we just move to take the emergency clause off, take testimony today, and have this go to next week.
We might have to.
If you have a principled objection to regulation, and it seems to me there's been a robust public process, we've had lots of testimony, we've been working in good faith to craft community standards, I appreciate that in this one area you don't believe in regulation. So let's take the emergency clause off, take testimony, and bring it back next week.
Let me suggest doing it in a little different order. We have some proposed amendments, correct?
Yes.
So I would suggest we take action on the proposed amendments, hear testimony, and then see what the council's sense is of going forward. Hear testimony on the amendments.
Yeah.
I'm just previewing
that the laissez-faire approach means the entire exercise he disagrees with, and that's his right. But I think we can spend a lot of time going round and round debating that. I think we should have a full council to have the vote on it.
I understand that. Okay. Other things you need to get across to us about the amendments before we take a motion on accepting the amendments? Is there a motion that we accept the amendments?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion on accepting the amendments, and then we'll ask if anyone wants to testify on the amendments. Okay, roll call, please.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay. All right, thank you. So now, I don't know if we have folks signed up for public testimony. Let me see if I can't help make this, at least I hope, simple and fairly brief, and that is, if you think that we've got it right, no need to come up and speak, you know, but we always like affirmation. But if you think we haven't yet got it right, that's particularly what we want to hear. So if you think these amendments solve the problems that were raised in the earlier hearing or hearings, fine, give us a thumbs up or a smile. But if you still have concerns, okay, there's at least one. If you still have concerns about where we're headed with the now amended regulations that are in front of us, those are the folks that we particularly need to hear from. So. Would you call the roll if we have a call the list if we have a list?
Yeah, yes, we do. For the amendments, is Sam Chapman still here? So Sam Chapman, Donald Morse, and Megan Wolster, is she going? Amy Markolis, and Jeff Sugar. Is that Jeff who's coming up as well?
Okay, well, let's take the first three anyway, because, or four if we can bring up another chair. All right, you can wait. So, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. My name is Sam Chapman, for the record. We're going to be really brief because a handful of us have to rush down to Salem for a ceremonial bill signing for all of the marijuana bills with Governor Kate Brown.
Okay.
So while we're going to be brief, this is still a very important issue to us, and I think a good handful of us do not believe that the proposed amendments are acceptable as is, and I think Amy will get into more specifics about exact language that we would like to see, which I will endorse, but very quickly I'll go through my regular testimony here. I'm very glad to hear that the patient issue got fixed. That was something that's been in statute. There should be no question about that. It's in statute. Patients that are employees can consume on-premise behind closed doors. I don't understand why there's more conversation needed. It doesn't sound like there is. Thank you. Another section that I wanted to refer to was section 14B130080, which bans retail delivery. I understand that maybe there is some hesitancy because it's a new industry, we're not sure what delivery means, et cetera. I can tell you that it is something that the legislature specifically allowed because of the local compromise that happened last session between cities, counties, and the industry in allowing counties and cities to ban. It was something that was championed by Senator Floyd Przanski, and the reasoning why I think the city should reconsider that is because prohibition doesn't work. That's why Measure 91 passed with such high numbers that it did, and creating or continuing to allow a black market of deliveries, which exists now. There's quite a few of them in Portland. They're around the state. It's something that if we do choose to regulate, we should regulate it. We shouldn't prohibit it and encourage the black market to continue to dominate the delivery industry as they do now. And lastly, I'd like to just step back and talk at kind of a 10,000-foot level about the work group and how we've gotten to where we are today. Initially, in these first meetings, it seemed like everything was very clear, very straightforward, that maybe there should just be one license, which is what I would like to advocate for, and I think others as well, one marijuana retail license. I mean, adding dates, adding additional clauses, it seems clear to a lot of us that there's a lot of miscommunication, a lot of misunderstanding about existing law, and also trying to predict what the OLCC is going to do. We can't do that, right? So I think the proposed language as is right now harms potential businesses. The way that I read it, and specifically in Section D from 14B130.040 under minimum standards, that's where all of this time and date language exists, and I would just propose to remove all of it, or as Commissioner Saltzman said, put a pause on this, really consider how much additional regulation we need. There's three regulating authorities in the state right now that are going to be overseeing this industry, and I really think we should look at what they are doing and what the city is proposing to do and see how much overlap there is. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of overlap, and we could potentially save a decent amount of taxpayer dollars if we went that way.
Since we're about to lose you, and I appreciate your frustration with the process, but since we're actually responding favorably to many of the suggestions you have, I don't mind frustrating you. if we make some additional tweaks here, do you want us to adopt the package?
I don't have a problem with you with the correct tweaks adopting the package. That's correct.
I wanted to know. Thank
okay.
you.
And I have a follow-up question. Many of the amendments are in response to your concerns and the concerns I've heard from medical dispensaries about proximity.
Mm-hmm.
So would you rather have an imperfect package or nothing?
I think this is part of the core of the misunderstanding, because the way that the language is written, it is not clear what the intention or the result is, and it's very confusing even in between people in the industry. People in the industry can't get on the same page.
You would be fine with not saying that other outlets have to be 1,000 feet from existing medical
dispensaries? I think any marijuana retail outlet should have to be at least 1,000 feet from any other marijuana retail outlet, whether it be medical or recreational.
That's what this package does.
I don't think that's the case.
Okay. Who'd like to be next?
My name is Donald Morse. I represent the Oregon Cannabis Business Council. Thank you for hearing me. With what Sam, excuse me, just said, we do not believe that the ordinance as written right now would accommodate a 1,000-foot difference between all dispensaries. 2 weeks ago, I was here, and there were two proposals made. One was that existing medical dispensaries be given a 2-day head start to apply for a retail license. The other was that there would be a 1,000-foot barrier between all dispensaries, be they retail or medical. Mr. Mayor, you asked Teresa at that time which one would be easier to accommodate, and she chose the 1,000-foot barrier. We have not seen that materialize in the paper, in the ordinance that has been put forth. It's a pretty straightforward thing without all of these different items and what applies and when and on what date, etc. All you have to do is say there shall be no dispensary of any type within 1,000 feet of another.
Period.
That's it, period. Solves all the problems. If you don't want to do that, you can go back to the other thing of saying we have a 2-day head start. We're businesses that anticipate on going retail and don't want to lose that opportunity, because we all know that medical dispensaries are going to cease to exist within a year or two, because everybody wants one system. And it's going to market forces, et cetera, and the laws are going to accommodate the retail as winning out. So medical dispensaries know if we don't choose this, we're dead on the vine within a year or two. And if there are people competing against us across the street, we're going to lose. Not only that, it's going to increase market saturation, at least for a year or two, while we struggle to survive and the other guys across the street. So you're going to have twice as many dispensaries as you wanted. So I would ask that you please, you know, enact the 1,000-foot rule for all dispensaries. It's a very clear and concise way. We've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in what we do. We've brought the industry to this point, and we do not deserve to be pushed aside. Thank you.
So, and I would encourage everybody to testify on the amendment. The amendment says that for medical dispensaries that were active on January 1st, there's a 1,000-foot rule. What?
Between medical dispensaries.
Between all of them. We already amended on a previous hearing, we already amended to say that it's 1,000 feet between any.
I think that's right.
This may be a case of having too many lawyers looking at language that was drafted precisely and tailored.
We already did exactly what you said, so that's okay. That's done. And then what we're doing today is saying it needs to be a business that was in or a dispensary that was in operation at the beginning of the year, not some out-of-state entity that's coming in that's not even operating yet, who's pretending to be a medical dispensary but is in fact going to be retail.
And that, on the point that Commissioner Fritz just made, it's a 1,000-foot requirement. The only thing I could imagine that we would be debating is, have we defined who is eligible, who this applies to clearly enough? That might be your concern, that we're too restrictive in who gets the benefit of the 1,000-foot rule. That's a pre-existing business. I can understand people raising that because, in fact, we have chosen what you might view as an arbitrary deadline and criteria. But that's different from whether there's a 1,000-foot rule. The 1,000-foot rule could not be clearer. So let's separate them.
Okay.
Let's separate those two out, if we could, because I think that's where you're headed.
Amy? My turn?
Yes, please.
My name is Amy Margolis. I'm an attorney with Emerge Law Group, and I work with the Oregon Cannabis Association. I am going to talk quickly. I think that there are two options, and my feeling is, with all due respect to the statutory drafters, the legislative drafters for this piece, it is terribly drafted. And what you are seeing is us struggling with that language and an understanding of the intention. And again, that's with all due respect to the drafters of this language. I think I've probably worked with them for a long time, and they're excellent attorneys. That being said, I have offered to the commission proposed alternative language that I think is much simpler to achieve one of two potential goals. The first one is to limit saturation by having a 1,000-foot rule between each and every dispensary, regardless of whether they are medical or recreational. And so I have actually, with the help of many people, Mr. Sugarman, Mr. Chapman, other attorneys who could not be here today, some alternative language that simplifies this issue, that strikes the additional definition for Q of medical dispensary and creates a holistic definition of marijuana retailer. I believe the statutory language will clarify the confusion and the confusion that everyone is existing. And then I'd like to talk about Commissioner Saltzman's alternative suggestion, which is getting rid of the 1,000-foot language altogether. The confusion is that the way it reads to many of us, and I understand, Commissioner Fritz, that was not the intention, but the way it reads to many of us, including a number of attorneys who have looked at it, is that there will be a moment in time where an individual applying for a Portland license, recreational license, could push out an existing medical dispensary. Now, I understand that that's not how you read it, Commissioner, but I will tell you that I struggled with the language myself, and I think offering some clarity through the alternative proposed language, if I'm understanding that the intent is not to allow that to happen, here is, excuse any typos, we worked on this for a long time to try and get it right, and there needs to be internal clarification, internal remedying of some of the language if you accepted this that we're proposing. So I think that's issue one. The second thing that solves it is Commissioner Saltzman's response, which is, let's just get rid of the 1,000-foot rule altogether. I take no position on that, but I do think there's a clearer, more concise way to get to the goal of this commission.
I believe that Commissioner Saltzman is saying let's not do this at all. Could you clarify, sir?
I believe that we should do away with any kind of a 1,000-foot boundary that's going to somehow put other businesses out of business. And I guess I'm open enough if there's an absolute need that we have to adopt something today, but I guess philosophically I'm just concerned about the program we're setting up, and it just seems overly regulatory, overly duplicative. That doesn't mean I haven't voted for things that are overly regulatory and overly duplicative in the past. So if there's a compelling reason to vote on this today, I will go along with it. But I do think your testimony is right on. And, you know, I do think philosophically my point is we should just let this market establish itself, and it'll shake itself out.
Thank you, Commissioner. I really appreciate that clarification. And let's all remember, nobody's going to be able to apply for a retail license tomorrow. So this is...
So the one thing that occurred to me, Commissioner Fritz, is if we have to vote on this today, and we're hearing that there's some questions about whether the language could be clearer about our intent and potentially even easier to administer, potentially, what I would suggest is we lock in a room the people that care about that with our attorneys and just resolve it. And mm-hmm. that's fine. And I think we have the luxury of adopting this and then having you do that. And if next week there's some clarifying language, we'll take it up as an amendment.
And commissioners, may I respond to that? One way to do this to solve that issue and that issue is to adopt this regulation. But because, as you pointed out, there is no retail license yet, there is no reason to include the portion around the retail component right now. It's much easier to create good legislation than it is to adopt unnecessary and poor legislation and then put us in a room to try and fix it. So just pull that language out that doesn't even apply right now and then put us together to try and fix it.
But there's reasons why I think that's not the best course of action. I've already committed to having the ongoing process. We know we're not done today. There is a compelling need to get the regulations adopted to protect your industry.
Commissioner, I think that what this is creating is an environment of fear and concern in the industry. We work with hundreds, more than hundreds, of clients in this industry, and I cannot tell you how many calls I have fielded from smart people about this particular language. So I'm hoping that even that the pieces that protect this industry, that's fantastic. Support it. The pieces that protect the community and the neighborhoods, support it. We support that. This particular component that sets up a potentially competitive and arbitrary application process between retailers and medical dispensaries, some point in the future, does nothing to protect the industry.
When is the earliest that sometime in the future could occur?
So our understanding, and I'm on the licensing, and as well as Mr. Morris, the licensing compliance and regulatory committee for the OLCC, and our understanding is that the soonest we will see open recreational dispensaries is sometime in October of 2016.
However, I'd like to add to that that the application process begins January 4th, and the OLCC has indicated that we must have a LUX from the city in order to make application.
By
January 4th.
Have a LUX from the city?
They are calling it a LUX.
Land use compatibility statement.
That exists in this piece of regulation, and it doesn't need to be touched right now. It's a land use issue, and it's not a distinction necessarily depending on the form you all create.
Okay. Just to reiterate what I said at the beginning, it's tomorrow that medical dispensaries are allowed to sell a certain amount of recreational marijuana through the end of 2016, and it's not until December 1st that retail marijuana businesses could apply for a city license. So we have at least 2 months to continue this discussion and bring amendments back to council if needed.
Okay, that's an option.
Jeff Sugarman today representing Groundworks Industries. I think the
the disagreement that we're having with staff, and I think it's a good faith disagreement, and we know everybody's working hard to come to the right place, is how do you accomplish the transition of medical shops to recreational shops as they move forward, and how do we honor those existing OHA licenses as that process goes forward? The way the ordinance reads today, the new language, the only people who would be protected are those shops who decide to stay as medical shops, who have been operating prior to January 1 of 2015 and had a city business license by June 30. But they cannot have submitted, not even submitted, a recreational application to be able to receive that protection. And that's the gist of what I want to talk about, is why we should honor those existing licenses and help those shops who are transitioning from medical to recreational stay in the locations where they're at today. First of all, it will be a much more orderly transition, similar to what we saw in Colorado when they allowed their medical shops to come in first. These owners of medical shops that want to switch over have been through the state licensing procedure, and they have proven that they can operate compliantly. Indeed, the legislature has decided that they've done so well, they're going to be allowed to be retail shops starting tomorrow and serve recreational customers. They've followed the rules, they've operated in good faith in building a business, and they've done nothing wrong to have that space taken from them. Now, I really listened carefully to Ms. Marchetti's issue on equity here, and I think that that potentially could be an issue, but for one thing I learned yesterday while meeting with the staff of Commissioner Saltzman. It appears that there was a city study done that to determine the number of dispensary sites that would be possible in the city of Portland. And what I was told, and I have not seen the studies, that there are 700 potential sites for dispensaries in the city of Portland. Today, there are 132 shops. So if there are that many locations available, there are locations for everyone who wants to come in and enter this recreational market. New people coming into this market should not be allowed to encroach on someone else's space. They need to go out and find one of those hundreds of possible locations, secure it, build out that site, and join the industry just as those who have already done that for the medical marijuana side. Those spaces are available. There is nothing that prevents anybody from going out and finding a location, and I can tell you that's true because the company I work for has found and secured locations, three different locations in the city of Portland in the last year. There are spaces available. 2 years ago, when the OHA first began to license dispensary, there was a significant effort to get in the door first. There were literally programs built so that people could fill in their online applications faster. There was situations where people had no intention of being a part of the industry, received licenses, sometimes by a second or two, and they showed up the next week at the dispensary's door offering to sell them that license. We don't need that kind of chaos here. Additionally, the time frame that was chosen in the section which requires you have been operating prior to January 1 and have a city license by June 30, I think that's also wrong. There are many shops that open this year. They have leased and bought spaces. They have made improvements to those properties. They have played by all the rules, and they have received valid OHA licenses to begin operations this year. And the way this amendment is written right now, those people would receive no protection even if they wanted to stay a medical marijuana shop. And as we know, 85% of the shops that are out there right now are going to shift over. In fact, I received an email yesterday from the Oregon Health Authority asking, including a survey monkey tool that is asking medical shop owners how many of them are going to switch over, because they need to find that information out too. So I think there's going to be more information available soon on this. So
thank you for your testimony.
Yeah, so wrap up, Jeff.
Just in summary, one license. We should protect anyone who has a valid OHA license, no matter when they got it. There's plenty of opportunity for other people to new people to come into the market. There are plenty of spaces available there. I am more than willing to sit down in a room and hammer this out. I think we can get there, but I think that's the crux of the problem, is that those people with existing OHA licenses should be allowed to keep those spaces, whether they stay medical or whether they transition to a recreational facility. And I have heard no public testimony at the hearings from anybody saying we should not allow that protection to occur, and we should require recreational to be a wide open market again.
No, that's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Others that would like to speak?
Next three are Megan Wusetter, Jeremy Plum, and Justin Croy.
Good morning.
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 Who'd like to be first?
Okay. Hi.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Fritz, Mayor, and other council commissioners, thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. My name is Megan Wallstatter. I am co-owner of Pure Green Dispensary located in the Hollywood neighborhood in Northeast Portland. I'm here to offer today to offer testimony regarding the city's proposed regulations. First, I want to say as someone who has a background in master's in urban and regional planning, I've actually worked with Commissioner Fritz at Sweeney and Hillsdale Neighborhood Association when I was a board member. Commissioner Saltzman, I worked with you when I was in grad school for local lunches. So as somebody who values the work that you do, I want to say thank you for taking this time to make sure that this gets done right and making sure that we all understand the language that's being implemented. As a business owner, I support the concept of the so-called 1,000-foot rule. I am concerned with the way that it is written right now without that clarity piece that someone could come in and apply for a recreational license through the city, and then I, out of a time, you know, opportunity of time, I could lose my business license. So if that is something that we're going to clear up with the proposals that were just addressed in the testimony before me, I support that. I think it needs to be clear. It's confusing. As somebody who has a little bit of background in legislative concepts, it's very confusing to read what is the way it's written right now. So I encourage you to take that time to get that right. I am also concerned that the proposed regulations are unnecessarily complicated, and I want Portlanders to be served by a program that is successful for both the city and the licenses. I believe a single, simple license for both adult-use stores is the most fair and sensible path. Like any other business owner, I need certainty in order to thrive. I have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into my store, into my employees, and into our capacity to serve our customers. I am already providing 13 living wage jobs that would be above the city's proposed minimum wage policy that is yet to be adopted. I've worked really hard to ensure the highest level of compliance with the state law, and I would love for the city to value that as much as we do. And I don't want to have to lose my opportunity to continue to be a part of the thriving business culture in Portland. Regarding some of the comments that were said earlier about equity, I am a minority business owner. I own a dispensary. I can sit here and rattle off a number of other dispensaries that are owned by minorities, women, and other people of different races, color, all of it, that I could sit here. I'm not going to, but there are plenty of people. The equity issue is not a concern of mine. I feel very confident in being able to get in there. I think there's a lot of people out there that have already done that. I think the focus is that the people that are emerging out of this industry have been living in a black market. We have been the backbone of this industry. The city of Portland has a well-known indoor cultivation system that is a very vibrant part of this local economy. And I believe that we deserve the chance before out-of-state people and keep that local money and keep the people in Portland employed.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good morning.
Good morning. So Commissioner Fritz, Mayor, and the rest of the commission, my name is Jeremy Plum, and I'm a co-owner of Pharma. I'm a licensed dispensary owner over on Southeast 9th and Hawthorne. I'm here today to support the council's effort to implement a fair and transparent licensing structure for Portland's retail cannabis market. In many ways, our dispensary Pharma has served as a model for what an Oregon cannabis provider can achieve. We've been toured by the governor's office, Senator Wyden's office, the Multnomah County Health Department, and the OLCC. Our dispensary was recently voted the best in Portland by the readers of the Willamette Week. We work tirelessly to create an inspiring, caring, and model facility. We're proud to employ right now 15 Portlanders, also at a living wage level, above the minimum wage. Yet the most recent version of Portland's proposed licensing rules could easily put us out of business. That's because even with our achievements, we simply cannot survive without a recreational sales license. Most dispensaries are losing money serving the tiny medical market in Oregon. We will certainly go under if we continue to depend on that limited model. The latest draft rules from the city gave us cause for concern because they would allow a brand new applicant to obtain a city recreational license and knock us out of the running of that lifeline forever. That would be our death knell. We support the 1,000-foot rule to prevent oversaturation of the market, and we believe that it's in the best interest of the city and its future licensees to develop a single, simple licensing process that provides certainty for businesses like Pharma and the hundreds of other licensed and compliant dispensaries. Over the last 2 years, Pharma's done our very best to usher in a responsible model for retail cannabis, and at every turn, we've placed compliance over profit. In fact, we were told by our OHA inspector that we had fewer red marks than any other shop. Yet, under the proposed rules, we face being eliminated in one moment due to the language of the city license. For Pharma, our employees, and our community, we ask you to consider the unintended consequences of the current proposal and take whatever time is needed to ensure fair, workable rules for all cannabis retailers. I really appreciate your time and listening. Thank you so much for your attention to this. It means so much to us.
Thanks. Good morning.
Morning. My name is Justin Croy. I'm a co-owner of the Green Remedy on 124th and Powell, a licensed dispensary. And as far as I know minorities owning dispensaries, I can't speak to that, but I can say that we had nothing when we opened almost 3 years ago. We did our remodel with repurposed wood. So, you know, money being a part of this industry, it only goes so far. We've all kind of worked. Whether you had money or you didn't have money, we're all facing the same struggle right now. And that's potentially going out of business. And I think with the 1,000-foot rule, that's something that needs to be addressed. It sounds like you guys are trying to address it, so I'd like to take my time to address something else. And that's the hours of operations. You guys are proposing a 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. We currently have been running 24 hours for almost a year. We have a lot of patients that are swing shift, night shift, and a lot of retail patients are people that are looking forward to coming late at night. I think excluding after 9 p.m. is going to not only hurt patients, it's going to force us to lay off employees. We currently employ 10 people. We're going to have to lay off at least two. Not to mention, I think it's a higher security risk. Having us shut down last year, someone tried to break in while we were shut down. They put a hole through our wall and into our building and tried to gain entry to our safe. I know this has happened to at least 3 or 4 dispensaries in town while they were closed. Since we've been open, we have yet to have one incident at night. In fact, we've helped the Portland City Police with several cases at night, being that we were there and witnessed things. So that's what I'd like to address. I think it's going to hurt a lot of patients, and I don't really understand the reasoning for it when I think it's a higher security risk.
So if... Let's assume just for the moment that council wasn't going to allow 24-hour operations. What change would you recommend that would meet the needs of your customers? What additional change? Midnight? 11?
I would say midnight. Midnight would be a fair thing. It gives the swing shift and graveyard shift as they're either going to work or getting off a chance to come in. I will tell you that just as my personal business, we do 50% of our revenue between 9 p.m. and 1 a.m. for the whole day.
And that's because you've got people who are coming to see you after a work day or a family
Correct.
Day or whatever?
Correct. We have a lot of swing shift people, and we have a lot of people that, like especially some of our military or veterans, that have OCD that just don't want to go out in public a lot, and they prefer to come in at night when it's less crowded, there's less people on the street.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay. How many more do we have signed up, Carla?
We have 9 more signed up.
My proposal is we power through and try to get this addressed by 12:30, and we have a couple quick items after that. Okay. Let's take the next three, please.
Are Philip Chen, Harvey Cummings, and Andrew DeWeese?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Afternoon already?
Would you like to go first?
Thank you. My name is Andrew DeWeese. I'm an attorney in the cannabis industry. I'm also a board member, vice president, and secretary of the Belmont Area Business Association. I also serve on the Judicial Selection Committee of the Multnomah County Bar Association. I'm not here in any of those capacities or representing any particular client. I'm here as a community member and someone who has experienced the marijuana industry as both a friend of folks in it and someone who serves the marijuana industry. I'm very worried about these proposed amendments' effect on the people who have been in this industry and operating dispensaries lawfully since the beginning of the program. Earlier this morning, we had a presentation involving the art in the atrium. Tall trees take the most wind. That's particularly appropriate for these folks. They have been the tall trees since the legalization of medical cannabis in the state. They have weathered these winds. They've weathered IRS dire taxes, 280E, the inability to take normal business deductions. These are the people that need our protection and they need your protection. And they need a well-thought-out system of ordinances that protect them and don't allow people to come in. And just because they applied a couple seconds earlier are able to completely wipe out a business. So that's what I have to say. I hope you'll take that into account. And I endorse this alternative language that Ms. Margolis gave you earlier.
And again, we haven't decided what the process for getting the licenses is. I'm a rock concert aficionado. I'm in favor of having a lineup. You know, you camp out overnight.
Thank you.
We'll figure that out.
Good. Welcome.
Good morning, Mayor and members of the council. My name is Philip Chen, and I'm the owner of Puddletown Organics, located in southeast Portland at 82nd and Powell. Puddletown is a medical licensed dispensary that has been open since June of 2014, and we're ready to begin sales for the recreational market tomorrow. My wife and I have lived in Portland since 2007 and attended Portland State University. We are expecting our first child in December. Like many here today, I live in the community and have personally taken on debt and sacrificed a career in another profession to open this location. We would like the security of knowing that our business will not be lost because I could not submit an application for retail license faster than the next person who currently may not even reside in this city or state. I have 11 employees who work at my shop. 8 of them have been with me for over a year. 10 of them are full-time. We have hired another 4 employees for the coming transition into recreational sales. These are jobs that already exist. To me, it is unacceptable for them to be put at risk of losing their employment. It is not fair for that the city of Portland would put me in a position where I have to gamble with other people's lives, yet that is exactly what the current draft amendments propose. If the city of Portland adopts a first-come, first-served policy for recreational permits, then consider the fact that those of us who will temporarily be selling recreational marijuana over the next year are here first, and that it is our medical license which allows us to sell the recreational marijuana. In this next year, our customers and neighbors will adjust to the changes that the recreational market brings. It would be unfair to make them have to adjust again. The city should absolutely promote new business, but it should also promote stability. The city of Portland needs to support people who are already employed, invested, and contributing, rather than opening it to a game of chance and loss. Those who do not have a medical license will not be required to take any risk other than the application fee. Meanwhile, I would risk not just my application fee, but the entirety of my medical dispensary as well. Essentially, the way the rules are written, there is everything for medical dispensaries to lose and all for the speculative late entry interest to gain. As saturated with pot businesses as the city may already seem, there are still hundreds of potential locations for new interest to enter the game, but don't let them take away something that we already have. From a logical point of view, it does not make sense for the city of Portland to allow medical dispensaries to risk a loss at the hands of timing or speculation. Please don't put us in a position where we are forced to gamble away everything against someone who is only risking the application fee. Let us keep our medical licenses should we not be able to get our recreational licenses. Let's make a rule that allows for more businesses but does not create the risk of loss. Please consider that there are no precedent situations the wild world over where businesses had to forfeit their current license in order just to apply for a different one, especially within the same industry.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here, Mayor Hales, and the rest of you commissioners. I'm Harvey Cummings, for the record. and I'm the owner of Oregon Weedery over on Northwest 23rd Avenue. I'll be brief because it seems like we've touched on this pretty well, but it seems as though these regulations, the way they're written, and I've spent a lot of time in code, read them last night and this morning, they're, for me in the industry, understanding where OLCC, OHA, and what you're proposing here, it was confusing. And I think that's what's got our industry in a little bit of fear here. Whether it's correct fear or not, we don't know, due to the confusion of the language. So the fears that I'm seeing in here are, of course, 1,000-foot, and it sounds like you're addressing that so that we don't end up with a recreational within 1,000 feet. The other part in there that was real scary was the giving up our license on the medical side prior to having our foot in the door on the recreational side. That's scary. And then the oversaturation problem that could possibly be there. We don't know our supply and demand yet, so we don't know if we're saturated or not, but it looks like we have a good infrastructure to work off of for recreational. The problem with the oversaturation that I'm seeing is the businesses will struggle. And in a really regulated industry like this, we need staffing to deal with the extra regulatory efforts within our shops to be compliant. And if we're oversaturated, we're not going to have the money to pay living wages, we're going to be understaffed, and it's going to be a, kind of a problem for all the agencies to manage. So those are my concerns, and I would suggest, personally, there's simpler language that was suggested earlier that simply neither dispensary could be in 1,000, and that would eliminate a lot of these problems at this point. And I think I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
The next three are Alex Pavich, Jeff Geiger, and Charles Johnson.
Welcome.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and commissioners. Thanks again for allowing me this time to speak before you, and I just want to let you know that my passion and emotions rung strong when faced with what I believe is a human injustice from the government's over-regulation and taxation of our industry. Once again, my name is Alex Pavich. I'm owner of Collective Awakenings Dispensary in the Northeast. I feel this decision you're about to make is a serious injustice to our industry, but don't get me wrong. I do believe we need this ordinance. I do believe we need regulation for our industry. I do believe that we need an Office of Neighborhood Involvement to help oversight what we're doing. But we also need to allow this industry to come out of the closet, so to say. We need to allow some of these businesses to lead by positive example and be able to survive and prosper in the process without being restricted by heavy regulations and ridiculous fees. I want to address more of the elephant in the room on this bill that you're proposing, that our industry is already riddled with hurdles, making it extremely difficult to function as a normal business. We have no ability to have bank accounts. We have to navigate difficult state and federal tax laws currently. And not to forget to mention, we have a serious public scrutiny of what we're trying to do. Overall, this isn't what keeps me up at night, though. It's the injustice of these exuberant and preposterous regulations and fees that are being added by the very people that are supposed to be helping us survive as a business in this city. No other business in this city, or in the state for that matter, is required to pay these extraordinary fees. In fact, compared to other 21-plus style businesses, these listed fees are over 10 times higher than any other business. For example, a city liquor license is $100 from the city compared to the proposed $1,225 that you're suggesting. Plus, you've added an annual renewal fee of $4,175. I mean, now we're talking 20 to 30 times higher than any other business in the city. I just don't feel this is right, and it's not fair to us as an emerging industry. I don't know any business that would be able to survive with an excess of $10,000 in business and licensing fees between the city and the state. I hope you're not just trying to set up an industry for failure. I do think that marijuana is not going to go away. This type of overtaxation based on fear is unknown, with ultimately only leading to a proliferated black market. And it'll cause more citizens to feel like they're being pillaged by their government. I feel that this is an exploitation to our industry, and I further want to say that, you know, letting us coexist, from what everyone's saying here, is that it's going to be very difficult for medical dispensaries to change into this legalization, and not allowing a coexistence in sales and having a single sales license is going to make it very difficult for many of us to accomplish that. Separation will only cause more saturation of the market and create business owners to maybe go look for a second location so that they can sell both recreationally and medically. In conclusion, I request that the current suggested fee structure in this ordinance be reduced by at least half, which will still be over five times higher than any other Portland business. I further request that you rethink coexistence and possibly be ready to match state guidelines, possibly outlining the industry in such a manner. I also hope that you impose a single retail license for the city so that we can continue doing what we're doing as these changes emerge over the coming year.
Your testimony.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks a lot. Welcome.
Hello, I'm Jeff Geiger with JGPolitics.com, and as a libertarian, I believe in laissez-faire. I ultimately think that ultimately this shouldn't be voted on, primarily because I looked at it last night on the security surveillance, which would be under 14B.130.08.
We're just testifying on the amendment.
Oh,
just
okay.
On the changes.
Well, then I would suggest with everybody else, I think Dan Saltzman's right in not voting for this. I don't think we should regulate this industry, primarily especially the fee schedule being $4,175 for a retail license. That is just going, if you overregulate
That's
the industry.
It's not an amendment either.
It's not an amendment either. Well.
We're trying to focus on the changes because we've had a lot of hearings on this. So we take your point, though, about regulation in general.
So I agree with Dan Saltzman.
Thank you. Charles, welcome.
Thank you, commissioners. I think that, you know, obviously there are huge concerns still remaining beyond the bounds of the amendment. In the paperwork, it talks particularly about not being preferential, yet when we have the invited testimony, we look at applying the equity lens to this. And it's ironic that so much criminality and occupation of Oregon State prisons came from communities of color, and we're not seeing any of that here in the talk about marijuana entrepreneurship. And it is questioned whether Dan Saltzman has a point that the only way for non-white minority entrepreneurs to make entry into this industry is if we throw out regulations that some people are being preferential. But if we are going to have regulation, I think the another thing we need to look at is there anything in these amendments that talks about local ownership?
That's already in the original ordinance.
So appreciate that. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, because obviously we have a bunch of successful entrepreneurs, an amazing number of female entrepreneurs here who have success, and we want to perpetuate that, while at the same time letting people who have a historical connection to the illegal marijuana industry transition into success as legal entrepreneurs. So I hope you will stay in vigorous dialogue, particularly with that community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any others?
The last three who signed up were Lindsay Reinhart, Jesse Horton, and Brad Zussman.
Okay, come on up. Welcome.
Thank you.
So again, let us know if you think we got it right on the amendments or not.
Mayor Hills, commissioners, I just want to say thank you for the beginning of this, for adjusting the on-site consumption by an employee in an enclosed room. That will greatly affect my workday, so thank you. I also wanted to adjust the grandfathering language. I would suggest that the date be moved to October 1st as opposed to January 1st, just to encompass all of the investments that have been made in the last 10 months. I'd like to know when the dispensaries are supposed to apply for their licenses. I've heard dates from, you know, the ONI on, you know, October 1st, November 1st, but applying and the effective date, specifically in regard to 12 a.m. sales on October 1st, a lot of dispensaries are trying to go ahead and serve that first bud at 12 a.m. And so we would just like clarification if we're allowed to, because it's a pretty celebratory day. We've heard that it would be overlooked, but maybe not. And most of the dispensary owners that I've spoken with are not looking to agitate the city. And so they're just looking for a little clarification there. One thing I wanted to touch on was the delivery. Brzezinski, no?
Yeah, it's a subject we can come back to, but it's not in the amendments that are in front of us.
Okay. On the 1,000-foot rule,
I am one of those people that thinks that free enterprise should be allowed. If your store is ranked number one or even down to number 10, I feel that we should welcome competition. I also know dispensary owners that have buildings with side-by-side locations that would like to have the rec store next to the medical store. And I'm just wondering if Commissioner Saltzman is right on delaying this until after the OLCC is done putting out regulations, because I think that it would help clarify the language that you're trying to come up with. Again, I'd like to specify that we're not lottery and we're not alcohol, and there are land use studies available about cannabis in the communities out of Colorado and Sacramento, California, that I think that would be very valuable to this council. And one license would probably simplify the language a lot, because I have heard through a lot of people that OLCC is going to be allowing dual licensing. So I think just that one marijuana